Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall. He works as general counsel for the National Religious Broadcasters and special counsel for the ACLJ. This month, we celebrated Constitution Day, marking the formation and signing of the U.S. Constitution by 39 brave men 232 years ago. Craig, I think we could use a little refresher, especially on the Constitution's First Amendment in the Bill of Rights. Would you tell us briefly about the five freedoms granted American citizens through the First Amendment?
Yes. First of all, I had my law practice years ago in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and it was in the shadow of the law offices of the likes of people like Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and others. And when the Constitutional Convention was being formed in order to start talking about the Constitution and the potential Bill of Rights, James Madison said when it came to the Bill of Rights, he wanted to have as the very first of the First Amendment rights the free exercise of religion. He had seen persecution from the religious standpoint himself, and he wanted to make sure that would be eradicated and that right would be foundational. So there's two parts to that. There's the free exercise clause, and then there's the establishment clause, but they're not supposed to fight against each other. The establishment clause simply says that the government cannot establish a formal religion and then require American citizens to support it against their conscience. In other words, we can't be coerced into supporting something that violates our religious conscience. The free exercise clause is there for the reason that in terms of our practice or observance and our expression of our faith, that we should be free to be able to do that within limits. And there are limits to every Bill of Rights right that we see in the Constitution. But the free exercise of religious liberty means that you have the right to practice, observe, and speak out your religion as long as the courts don't say that it oversteps some other fundamental right of other citizens. The right to petition is important because every time you see pictures of people getting together and mounting the steps of the Supreme Court with signs, whether they're protesting for or against something, that's a form of informal petition. There's also a right of formal petition to your government where you can contact your elected officials and you can ask them to be able to vote for or against certain things that you happen to believe in that are happening in Capitol Hill or in terms of your local assembly. Which brings me to the next one, which is the right to assemble, which means and includes the right of association as well. When you're a member of an organization, you have a right to meet freely with that organization or that ministry or that church without being punished by the government because they disfavor who that group is and what they stand for. The right of freedom of press is important because the founders, even before they signed the Declaration of Independence, they were talking about the need for a freedom of the press because they envisioned a government once the revolution was won where the informed electorate could only be informed before they vote by a free, open, and informative press. And of course, now we can debate whether or not the media is giving us true information or fake news today. That's a whole other issue. But we have to have a plethora of press organizations with the freedom to be able to opinionate, to state facts, and to investigate so that we can be, quote, an informed electorate.
Thank you for that, Craig. That's one of the best concise definitions I've ever heard of those five freedoms. When it comes to religious freedom, we're seeing an interesting push by atheist groups. I recently talked with a spokesperson from the Freedom Forum Institute who says the 25 to 30% of Americans who call themselves non-religious support religious liberty also for the sake of practicing no religion.
That's an interesting development. And let me tell you, I have observed over the last few decades, a building momentum that's now turning into a movement among those who declare themselves to be atheists in America to have equal representation and equal rights, to be basically a protected group, protected by law, with special protections against so-called anti-atheist discrimination. Well, this is part of their agenda, frankly, to secularize American society. A famous Supreme Court Justice, William O. Douglas, once said, and by the way, he was really not a traditional religious believer himself, but he said, we as Americans historically have always been a religious people. Our institutions have presupposed the existence of a supreme being. So he even noticed that that is a fact of American culture and history. So the atheists are really on the outs, and they really want to get a foothold in terms of political and legal power. So they're arguing that whenever atheists don't have an equal voice in whatever the forum happens to be, then the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution has been violated, or their First Amendment rights have been violated. And as long as atheists are not being jailed for being atheists, as long as they're not being treated as lesser citizens because of their particular worldview, under the Constitution, they don't have a gripe. But they are, I think, latching on to something that the Pew Research Center determined a number of years ago in some of their studies, which is we do have a small growing proportion of Americans who don't declare themselves to be aligned with any specific religious group. They're the so-called nones, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S, those that have none of the above describes who they are. They're sort of ambiguously, perhaps slightly spiritual. A percentage of the atheists in that survey also said, but I consider myself to be spiritual. So you can see how the categories and the definitions have become ridiculously blurred.
That's Craig Parshall, General Counsel for National Religious Broadcasters. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.